Hello and welcome to episode 303 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. As always, joined by Evan Silva. Today, we will be going team by team through the AFC. Evan, sporting, if you're watching on YouTube, Evan is rocking a crisp white Run the Damn Ball shirt, hat. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. And I bought 10 of these to pass out at Christmas. All my family will all be sitting around wearing Run the Damn Ball hats while we're opening presents and, you know, drinking our Jameson and coffees. I can't wait.
God, that is not officially licensed EstablishTheRun.com merchandise. This is a Colts thing that has been run by a company called Stampede Blue, I think, if you want to check it out. And we have nothing
Quentin
to do
Nelson.
With that.
I think Quentin Nelson originated.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We have nothing to do with them, but they do have some great merch. I bought some t-shirts from them and stuff like that. We do have our own merch up if you guys are interested in that over on TeePublic. Anyways, on today's show, we will be going team by team through the AFC, talking about key fantasy takeaways. Before we get into it, I have to remind everyone, this show is brought to you by our friends at prizepicks.com. If you want to bet props, and again, this is the softest market that you can possibly bet on. If you want to bet props and you're in a state where you can't do it, and on regular sportsbooks, you can do it on Prize Picks in parlay form. If you want to give them a try this week, they have 100% instant deposit bonus up to $100. Use promo code ETR to get the best deal or use the link in our show notes. Again, promo code ETR at prizepicks.com for the instant deposit bonus and the best deal. Let's get into it with the AFC. I mean, Lamar has been mediocre at best and below average, maybe more realistically. Now, the schedule hasn't been great. He's played the Dolphins, Bears, Browns, Steelers last four. And I know, you know, there's personnel issues on each of those teams, whatever. You know, I think schematically, Browns, Bears, Steelers all can play really, really good defense. Steelers did have TJ Watt and Cam Hayward for that game this past week. Next three games don't really get much easier for Lamar. Browns, Packers, at Bengals. I mean, maybe a little bit easier, but nothing, no pushovers. What do you think about Lamar right now and anything else on the Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the different things happen in each one of these games. Like in the Dolphins, they just, against the Dolphins just threw the absolute kitchen sink at him. And, you know, they had their secondary healthy. And, I mean, they're balling in the secondary. And then, you know, this past week in particular, the Steelers did a lot of zone dropping. Like they would drop guys into coverage and confuse him. And in the Browns game, like they baited Lamar into like throwing into crowds at Mark Andrews. Remember, he threw four picks. All of them were on passes intended for Mark Andrews. So a different thing has happened in each of these three games, but all told, Lamar has thrown three touchdown passes, six interceptions in these three games, and taken 13 sacks. And I think that on both sides of the ball, really, you know, injuries are starting to catch up to the Ravens as a team. They obviously miss Ronnie Stanley on Lamar Jackson's blind side. They've, you know, suffered other injuries on the offensive line. On defense, their secondary has been really exploitable by long pass plays. One of the reasons I like Chase Claypool, and that was a disaster. We'll talk about that when we get to the Steelers. But now they just lost Marlon Humphrey, torn pec for the year. I think that offenses are going to be able to score against them. And so that's going to force Lamar Jackson to continue to play aggressively. He does have his full pass catcher core intact right now, but Rashad Bateman is not really stepping up. And I mean, this past week, he found himself as the number four receiver behind Marquise Brown, Devin Duvernay, and Sammy Watkins. And Rashad Bateman didn't even play on the Ravens' final touchdown drive. Yeah. So he's not really giving them what we hoped that he might. And the passing game is, yeah, I mean, it's in a state of flux right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, Lamar's played well as a passer at times, just really inconsistent. And so it's hard to be excited. We can get these really, really ugly games at times for sure. Speaking of ugly games, let's go to the Bills. I mean, the Bills had like a somewhat normal game plan. I mean, Josh Allen dropped back 38 times, but the way the Patriots played just turned this game into like the most unique, memorable, I would say. Like, people are going to point to this for a long time and be like, this was such a ridiculous game. Bill Belichick didn't even try to throw. He threw it one time in the first three quarters, three times in the entire game. But anyways, on the Bills side, Zach Moss was back in the mix along with Breida and Singletary. Only 10 routes for Gabe Davis, although Gabe Davis had some production on those 10 routes. But yeah, I don't know. It's hard to have a lot of takeaways from this game. It was such a weird game. Right. And then you go to the opposite spectrum. They're going to play the Bucs this week. Mm-hmm. Will, the Bills, what did you see out of last night's game for the Bills?
Yeah, I mean, almost, you know, just pretty much what you said. You know, it was obviously very weather affected on New England's side. And we'll get to them. I mean, it wasn't just, you know, they clearly were concerned with the weather, because not only were they running the football on virtually every play, I think they went like 36 straight snaps or something at one point with a rushing attempt, but they were also like going for two, you know, instead of kicking PAT. So I don't know. Now the Bills fall to 7-5. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a huge game at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about this game a lot on Friday. Obviously, Buffalo-Tampa sets up really well for fantasy points. Bengals, you know, like the T. Higgins and Cash thing, like, didn't work out. It was so obviously the right play. Like, I played T. Higgins and Cash probably like 3 or 4 times, and he like had like 6, 7, 8, 10 points every time. But like, you can see when he was 4,900, 4,800, 5,100, I mean, he's at such an outrageous play, because he actually, when all three wide receivers were healthy this year for the Bengals, T. Higgins has the highest target share. T. Higgins is the one seeing 25% of the targets. Jamar Chase down at 23%. Tyler Boyd down at 16.5%. Now, we'd be talking about the Jamar Chase thing very differently if he had caught that ball. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw it, but my God, I mean, he was like open by, I don't know, 5 feet. And the ball hits him in the hands, and he just like kind of drops it. It goes behind him, and it gets intercepted. I mean, that should have been a 70-yard touchdown, and that's what Jamar Chase.
The preseason reports ducks. Were right, huh?
Yeah,
the preseason reports were right.
If the ball had stripes, he would have caught it. I know. So, you know, it would have been a lot different for sure. Last thing I'll say on the Bengals, Evan, is Chris Evans was out, and I thought maybe that would give Joe Mixon a little bit more pass game role. It didn't. I mean, they just don't want to play him on pass downs. Mm-hmm. They had Samaje Perine out there. Mixon only 22 routes on 50 Joe Burrow dropbacks. Anyways, Bengals, Chargers, what did you see out of that game?
Yeah, Joe Burrow dislocated his right pinky finger, and you know, he comes off the sideline, he's trying to throw, and you see how the first throw that he attempted, he like screamed after it. He was in such pain, but he did end up finishing out the game. I don't think he looked 100%. My guess is that he's going to be not have him even touch anything for, you know, the next, like probably until Thursday, and maybe practice him a little bit and then maybe try to get him in a full practice on Friday. But I don't think he's going to miss this game or anything like that, but that's a situation worth monitoring.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, you could easily make a case that he was limited in the second half of that game. They play the 49ers this week, do the Bengals. Cleveland Browns have this like weird scheduling thing. So a couple weeks ago, they played the Ravens. Then they had their bye. Now they play the Ravens again. So the last time these two teams met, they only managed 10 points. This time, I think Kareem Hunt will be at 100%. I saw David Njoku go on the COVID list for what it's worth. But yeah, I don't really have a lot on Cleveland. It's just weird. They have to play Baltimore essentially back-to-back games.
Yeah. There has been some talk coming out of the bye that the Browns might play Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt together. Now, historically, when teams talk about this, I mean, it just doesn't happen. But yeah. I could see this coming together. I mean, Their receiver core is just so bad outside of Jarvis Landry. And, you know, they could play multiple tight ends, but now you mentioned, you know, David Njoku could be out. So yeah. I think that coming out of the bye, and we do need to keep an eye on Kareem Hunt's health, because you remember at the end of that week 12 game, it looked like he might've re-pulled his calf, but you know, if he's good to go, I mean, I think he's a fantasy starter against the Ravens.
Broncos. So we've been waiting all year for this Javonte Williams game. It sucks that it had to come on an island game on a showdown slate, not on a main slate. But, you know, Javonte Williams, I'm very skeptical that many running backs, quote unquote, matter. Javonte Williams looked like he mattered. I mean, he was a freaking beast out there. 102 rushing yards, 76 receiving yards on 6 catches with a touchdown. Now home versus Lions. I don't know that Melvin Gordon's injury is serious. Like, it didn't seem that serious to me. I was actually a little surprised he ended up sitting out. So I kind of expect Melvin Gordon back this week, but we'll see. I mean, the Broncos have now seen Javonte Williams gives them a different level against the Lions this week. What'd you see out of the Broncos?
Yeah, and keeping Melvin Gordon out too, I mean, it gives them a chance to look at Mike Boone too. I mean, you know, he's probably the back of the future, or the, you know, the number two back of the future. Remember George Patton, their new GM, brought him over from Minnesota. He's a talented dude. And yeah, I mean, I think it makes all the sense in the world for them to continue to feature Javonte Williams, use Mike Boone, and just kind of let, you know, Melvin Gordon get ready for the next team that he's going to play for. It continues to be the case that Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, Albert O, these dudes just cancel each other out. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just there's no reliability to be had in this passing game. They are playing the Lions this week, but they're still going to be tough to trust.
Houston Texans, I don't have much to say here. They're going to go back to Davis Mills for Sunday's game against the Seahawks. And like David Johnson was a late scratch, and like, yeah, maybe you could have made a case for Burkhead or whatever, but even Brandon Cooks has been struggling so badly lately. I don't think that there's going to be much in play here for the Texans. Let's go to the Colts. Colts head into their bye. You know, it's hard to be excited about having Colts right now other than Jonathan Taylor, because bye, Patriots, Cardinals. Like, I couldn't fathom a worse three-game setup where you can't even use them. They're on a bye, then the Patriots, then the Cardinals. So it's a mess. I like Michael Pittman. You know, I know we got some questions about Jack Doyle on Sunday, whatever. Like, it's hard for me to even carry a lot of these guys if I have a deep team through this three-game stretch. But what'd you see out of the Colts, who predictably stomped the Texans?
Yeah, I mean, Michael Pittman, he's been leaving a lot on the field, though. I mean, he's dropped a touchdown pass in consecutive games. He still went over 100 yards from scrimmage against the Texans. I thought it was somewhat notable. I mean, Nyheim Hines wasn't even the garbage time back. Deion Jackson came in for garbage time against the Texans. It's the Jonathan Taylor show, and then a little bit of Michael Pittman.
Jacksonville Jaguars, you can tell that James Robinson was not healthy in this game. He was splitting with Carlos Hyde. I think at some point they're going to sit down James Robinson. It seems like he's been battling like one injury after another, or maybe the same nagging injury for so long. They play at the Titans this week. Pass game is just a total disaster. What'd you see out of the Jaguars?
Yeah, James Robinson. He also lost a fumble on the second play of the game, and then he didn't play again until the second half. I'm sure that the heel and the knee injuries contributed to that, but James Robinson and Carlos Hyde each wound up with 9 touches apiece. Laviska Shenault still cannot get off the schneid. And yeah, I mean, the passing game is very, very disappointing. Yeah. Very disappointing. I understand they're trotting out Marvin Jones as their one, Laquon Treadwell as their two, Laviska as, you know, the shallowest A-dot slot receiver in the history of the NFL. But I mean, it should have been better than this. It's really been another disappointing season for the Jaguars.
Yeah, they don't even like get down by 20 and have fun and like throw the ball around. You know what I mean? Like, even bad teams can do that, you know? So it's definitely concerning. Chiefs. So they came out of their bye, and man, like, they pass game still looked awful. Like,
yep.
I mean, it's just, they just seem broken. From the running back perspective, CEH only led Darrell Williams in snaps 29-26, and Darrell Williams actually ran 19 routes, CEH only 14. So all this rhetoric and talk that they want to get CEH more involved in the pass game is just always BS. Like, CEH is a base back, and that's fine, but he's a base back on a team which has the highest throw rate ever expectation in the league, and one which has the highest throw rate ever expectation in the red zone. So, I like CEH. It's just hard for me to find big ceiling games for him. They have won 5 in a row, though, man, and they play home against the Raiders next. The Raiders is the one team that Mahomes actually shredded recently. So what'd you see out of the Chiefs win over the Broncos?
Yeah. And also, I mean, they've become a defensive oriented team. What were the odds on us saying this about the Chiefs at the beginning of the year? I mean, they are a defense oriented team at this point. They're built on their defense, and their passing game is just like completely hit the skids. They've had one good game like in recent memory, and it actually happened against the Raiders. Mahomes threw for over 400, 5 TDs. You remember the switch to the cover 3 game?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, are the Raiders going to, you know, now switch to cover 2? No, probably not. So, I don't know. I'm being optimistic this particular game, but there is, you know, you can only acknowledge that this passing game is in the dumps. And, you know, you see the one good game on the schedule. It happened to be against this same team. And so there's your reason for optimism. But The Chiefs are a defensive built team right now.
I know, crazy. Speaking of the Raiders, so I'm not sure on Darren Waller's status for this week against the Chiefs, but Foster Moreau's usage has been, you know, reasonable. You know, he ran 59 routes the last two games. He's just only caught two balls on eight targets for 37 yards. It just is what it is at the tight end position. I thought it was really notable, though, the way Josh Jacobs has been using the pass game. We talked about this a bunch last week. I mean, Josh Jacobs, and I get that Jalen Richard was a late scratch due to COVID. I get that Kenyon Drake hurt his ankle. Kenyon Drake's out for the year now, though. And over the last 4 weeks, Josh Jacobs has an 18% target share. That's really high for a running back, especially one who you think of as kind of a two-down pounder like Josh Jacobs. So I think Josh Jacobs, you know, I used him on one team this week. His pass game role is different than what it's been. What'd you see out of the Raiders?
Not a whole lot to add to that. The Raiders have scored 16 points or fewer in four of their last five games. They had that one offensive outburst against the Cowboys. And other than that, I mean, their offense has been just terrible since their bye.
Let's go to the Chargers. Really good setup here for them. They get to face Jake Fromm and the Giants. Obviously, really good spot. I'll say this, though. Keenan Allen landed on the COVID list on Monday. We'll see what happens there. Maybe that gives Mike Williams a chance to play more of the role, which we saw early in the season. We'll also get Jalen Guyton out there. And I'd love to see Josh Palmer get a chance as well. But anyways, the way it sets up for fantasy for the Chargers, I mean, they throw at the third highest rate in the league behind only Tampa and Kansas City, and they're sixth fastest in neutral situation pace. So it just sets up like fantasy weeks can be huge for the Chargers every week. Herbert, like, could have had an even bigger game than he had. What do you see out of the Chargers game against the Bengals?
Yeah, and one thing that has been an obstacle for the Chargers offense at times is that they have played conservative under Joe Lombardi. I think in part because the right side of their offensive line is like done for the year. So, but in this game, they did not do that though. In this game, Justin Herbert's ADOT was almost 11 yards. That's on average. He's throwing past the sticks on every pass on average. So, I mean, that's being very aggressive. They're throwing the, you know, they threw the ball downfield to Mike Williams. They hit a big one to Jalen Guyton for a touchdown. Jalen Guyton's got a lot of speed. He just doesn't usually get targets. I think that if Keenan Allen were to miss, it would be Mike Williams in the volume role and then Jalen Guyton and Josh Palmer outside. They could also use more multiple tight end sets, which they, I mean, they like to play, you know, Parham at times and Steven Anderson a little bit. Behind Jared Cook. But also, you remember Keenan Allen just went nuts in terms of volume last year when Austin Eckler was out. I wonder if that might work the other way. If Keenan Allen were to miss, Austin Eckler could have like a monster volume game against the Giants in terms of passing game usage. I'm old enough to remember the preseason touchdown concerns about Austin Eckler. People didn't want to draft them because they thought that, you know, Josh Kelly or something or Larry Roundtree was going to take away the goal line carries. Austin Eckler has 15 touchdowns in 12 games.
Great year for Austin Eckler. Let's go to the Dolphins. Devontae Parker returned. We talked about this a lot on Sunday. Devontae Parker returned for 49 out of 69 snaps, 32 routes on 45, two at dropbacks. You know, not full time, but considering how much time he missed with the hamstring pull, I think pretty good. Only five targets for a 12% share, but caught all five for 62 yards. And so Devontae Parker is like a frontline alpha NFL receiver when he's healthy. He's just not had healthy that often. What do you see out of him and anything else on the Dolphins?
Yeah, I played him on a team. Didn't quite get there, but you know, it's good to see him healthy. Dolphins go into their bye, five straight wins. They come out of the bye and they face the Jets and then the Saints and the Titans. I mean, they could stay hot. Like, it's kind of they're kind of interesting. You know, they are now the team that we expected that they would be entering the season. They got this five-game winning streak. They got three more winnable games all in a row when they come out of the bye. They could make stuff interesting in the AFC.
Speaking of the AFC East, we already talked about the Patriots. And the way they played this game, I don't think we really have any takeaways here. They threw three passes and ran the ball 46 times. I did see Damian Harris look like he pulled his hamstring or something. I'm not sure exactly what's wrong with him. I had the game on mute. But yeah, that's certainly something to watch because our buddy Ramondre, I mean, when given the chance, just is a baller. Anything that we can take away from the New England game last night?
Yeah, they showed some trust, in Ramondre. They gave him 24 touches. Yeah, Damian Harris in the first half, he pulled his hamstring. It was kind of like toward the end of the first half, and then he went to the locker room early. He was trying to stretch it out. He came back in the game. He pulled it again in the third quarter on a long run. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You know, hamstrings can be really, really tricky. They are going into their bye, but, you know, hold tight to those, to Ramondre Stevenson and Brandon Bolden, because it's possible that Damian Harris will not be ready when they come out of the open date.
New York Jets. I mean, you have something excited about with the Jets, not Zach Wilson, but Elijah Moore, because he's not even playing his natural role. And I think he'll play his natural slot role next year when Jamison Crowder is gone. But Elijah Moore is winning on the outside now and winning with such putrid quarterback play. So, yeah, you know, I just that we're having the debate between DK Metcalf and Elijah Moore shows what kind of year and what kind of recent run Elijah Moore has been on. Corey Davis hurt his ankle in this game, as Evan said. Maybe he's done for the year. I'm not sure on that one. Anything else on the JETS, Jets?
Yeah, Corey Davis done for the year. Season-ending core muscle surgery. Yeah, Zach Wilson started off hot. Actually, Elijah Moore could have had another touchdown. Zach Wilson missed him on. Yeah, it was a little bit promising early, I think, for Zach Wilson, and he kind of tapered off as the game progressed. Tevin Coleman was commandingly the Jets' number one RB against the Eagles. 14 touches. Ty Johnson had 3. Austin Walter had only 3.
Pittsburgh Steelers, and this was kind of what I was worried about with this Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. You know, like a lot of the time, most of the time, it just turns into like some ugly slugfest. And that's kind of what happened. They scored a lot of points in the fourth quarter, but before that, I mean, it was ugly. What was it, like 10-3 at the end of the third quarter or something like that? And so, yeah, you know, these games don't excite me that much. Deontay Johnson, though, another 10-plus target game. 20 out of his last 27 games, he's had 10 targets or more. Pittsburgh plays on a short week, but this is like the best spot that they've had in a while because it's out inside against Minnesota, and Minnesota inflates the plays, inflates explosive plays for opponents at a really high rate. And so I know you were on Chase Claypool last week, did not work out, but this is seems like to me a much better spot for Chase Claypool against the Vikings on Thursday. What'd you see out of the Steelers?
I'm just worried that Chase Claypool got hurt because he was out of the game for like stretches.
Yeah.
You know, he'd been dealing with a toe injury. He played over 90% of the snaps in 3 of the Steelers' previous 4 games. He played 63% of the snaps here. And then on Monday, he was listed as, I don't think they actually held a practice, but they have to give the practice participation report. And he was DNP. So I'm just worried that he aggravated it. And then that could be tough on a short week. They'd be digging. Deontay, it's an absolute eruption spot for Deontay Johnson. He's in Cooper Kupp territory. Yeah. He's got double-digit targets in 9 of 11 games. You know, this is a huge smash for him, especially with Claypool limited, Juju long gone, Eric Ebron on IR. Should be a Fryer Moose game too.
By the way, friend of the show, Adam Schefter, did report, I think it was Saturday, that Ben Roethlisberger has been telling teammates and people within the Steelers he expects this to be his final season. We've heard this before from Ben. He's always into the drama, and the drama seems to follow him a lot. But yeah, I mean, at this point, it's hard to not see this being the end of Big Ben. The problem is they have like nothing behind him, like even like developing a quarterback. And so, it's a concern, I think, for the Steelers organization going forward. They have to figure something out at quarterback. Last thing we're going to do is the Tennessee Titans. They will come out of their bye in an amazing spot, home against the Jaguars. AJ Brown is going to be out, but Julio, I think, might be back. We'll see on that. Anything on the Titans as they come out of their bye?
I would guess that McNichols is back to go with, Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman.
Yeah.
Julio Jones, he was designated for return, but that doesn't, it opens up the 21-day window.
Yeah.
So no guarantees there. We'll have to follow along with that over the course of the week.
All right. That is going to do it for this AFC Team by Team Pod. I'll be back with Leone and Mark on Wednesday for rest of season top 150, as we'll take kind of a closer look at playoff schedules during that podcast. We'll be back on Thursday for the betting show, and then Friday on the premium side with Silva and Wiggins to discuss week 14 main slate DFS. For Evan, for producer Luke, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.